All right. Wow. A few of you have had a few more people come in. My name is Ron Kanzler, and man, it's awesome to be able to bring God's word to you this morning. I hope that you are ready for God to do something. I've enjoyed this series as we've gone through Proverbs and leading up to our VBS, as they are going to be studying Proverbs, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And over these past 5 weeks, for me anyway, I've basically just let you hear some sermons I needed to hear, and you guys got to join along, because a lot of what we've talked about has just been stuff that I myself needed to hear. I mean, we started off with being on the right path, and we kind of led into this idea of the fear of the Lord, that we need to have an awe and respect of who God is. And we also talked about how to deal with anger. And last week, we talked about being prideful and how to be humble, some things to work on that. How many of you are humble now? Okay, some of you fell for that. You're not humble anymore. As soon as you raised your hand, you're not humble anymore. But today we are going to be continuing. And there's so much that is in the book of Proverbs. I mean, and whether you know this or not, maybe you do, but I would challenge you. Conveniently, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. 31 days in our month. You could read a different chapter every single day. If you're trying to figure out where to start in the Bible, what a great place to start when it comes to wisdom. And so today we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. We're going to kind of launch there. It'll be kind of our picture of what it's going to look like as we talk about this thing called self-control. Self-control. How do we control this self? And I don't know about you. Maybe I'm the only one who struggles with this, but I have some issues with self-control. And the reality is that even though this book was written some 3,000 years ago, if you read the paper or look at the internet or watch the news, would you agree with me that there are a lot of people who have trouble with self-control? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you read the paper, you'll see that now many or millions of Americans are addicted to all kinds of things, all kinds of different things out there. I mean, there's food, there's sex, video games, shopping, work. I can't imagine that you'd be addicted to work, but some people are. And even exercise. I don't have a problem with that. That's one thing I don't struggle with, is an addiction to exercise. But there are over 200 different groups now for different types of addictions that are in America. Over 200 different ones that are out there. And the ultimate basis of this is that we all struggle with some kind of self-control. And you know what? Sometimes we kind of get the fact that it might be drugs and alcohol. We kind of go, yeah, that's okay, they're addicted to that. But the reality is that we all, none of us, are immune to that. We all struggle with something. We all struggle in some area. There's not one person better over the others. We're all equal here today when it comes to this struggle with self-control. As a matter of fact, for me, I'll just be transparent with you, it's food. I medicate with food. If I'm having a rough day, guess what? Big Mac to the rescue. If I'm having a great day, guess what? Sometimes on the highs, guess what? Big Mac in celebration. But the reality is that I understand, for me, that it's something that I have a trouble with self-control. As a matter of fact, I said Big Mac, but really the thing for me is this thing called a French fry. I mean, it's like I can be great and one French fry, and that's it. I mean, I'm just shoving them in my mouth as fast as I can, you know. And yesterday we were at a wedding for my niece, and I had done really well this week. And suddenly I go to this wedding, and I don't know, this is a new trend. I guess I will find out coming up over the next year or so. But I walk in, and, you know, everybody's in the main room. And they start this father-daughter dance. And you know what I did? I bailed. I'm sitting here thinking, I can see myself and my daughter doing that. I'm not quite ready for that yet. So I kind of back out of the room, and I'm walking around this really nice place downtown Cartersville, and I walk into this room. And what do you think is all over this room? Not French fries, but candy. I mean, it's wall-to-wall candy in there, and I'm by myself. Nobody's going to see. What a temptation. The reality is that I'm thinking of and sharing something with you, but each of us can relate to that, can't we? Something that we struggle in self-control. And so, really today, we're going to talk about what is the secret for self-control? And it's not that it's a secret in the sense of like, hey, God's going to keep a secret from you. The reality is that on the pages of this book, His Word, from cover to cover, He has revealed what it takes to have control in our life, to live the life that He wants us to live. And it's probably not what you're thinking, because for many people you think, well, for self-control, I just need to try harder. I just need to, you know, next week I'm going to be in control, and I'm just going to try harder. I'm just going to give more effort and more time, and I know that I failed last week, but I'm just going to try harder, and it just doesn't work, does it? You walk into a room full of candy, and before you know it, you know, you're just shoving stuff in. Or for some of you, it might be clicking on something that's leads you down a path. Or for you, it's a conversation that you shouldn't have, or something that you drink or smoke, or whatever it is that all of us have something that is going on. And so our tension question for me and for you today is, what is the secret to self-control? What does God's Word have to say about it? Well, listen, what God's Word has to say is, first and foremost, the book of Proverbs talks about the fact that there is a problem with self-control. We get this, but let's look at God's Word, and here's what it says. And I love this picture. I want you to picture this. I'm going to help you with some pictures in a few minutes, but picture this as what God's Word says in Proverbs chapter 25, verses 28. It says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. You see, Solomon is saying here is that someone who lacks self-control is like a city who has a big gate around it, a big fortress of protection. And there's a picture that's going to pop up here, and this is it's a new picture, but it's of an old wall that is around the city of Jerusalem. And you know, we look at that wall and we say, oh, it's beautiful, and we take pictures of it. But listen, the wall was not picturesque. The wall was designed for protection back thousands of years ago for the people inside. And not just so that they would, you know, keep them from war coming, but what would happen is from day-to-day activity, knowing that that wall was around the city, they could conduct their lives in an organized way. They could have an organized government. They could have a family outing without fear of someone breaking in and taking over. They could have commerce. They could have some kind of system within their life that life made sense. But it was there really just to make sure that everything was going on. And when I think of a wall, maybe you think of the same thing, but the Great Wall of China. Any of you ever been there? Well, neither have I. Maybe one day can go to the Great Wall of China. But what an amazing feat. At one time, 4,000 continuous miles, this thing went from desert to forest to plain all the way through to the ending point where it ended in the ocean. And this wall that China put up was designed for one reason, and that was that nobody could get through it. It was nobody could punch through it because it was going to protect. And listen, for a long time, the dynasty within, the kingdom behind that thrived because they had this wall of protection. But you know what they forgot to think about? The weakest link in that wall was the human heart. You see, there were places there where sentries would guard, where you could come through that wall, and guess what? Sentries can be bribed. Sentries can be coerced into siding with the enemy. And in the 1600s, this a place where the most solid part of the wall, one of the guards just opened up the door, and guess what they did? They just let them walk right through. Matter of fact, there's a picture that's going to pop up of this area. And you can see it's probably only 50 or 60 yards by the time they've punched all the way through. But guess what? The entire army came through, and the kingdom fell because they punched through into the city. You see, the reality is this. What Solomon is saying is that when it comes to self-control is that we can do everything that we can do right. We can be someone who is principled in every area of our life. We can do everything that we need to do. But he's saying is that if there's one area that you allow to begin to break down, guess what can happen? It can destroy everything inside. He's saying be very, very careful. You've got to make sure that wall is not going to crumble within. Because many of us, we have those great walls, don't we? We have those relationships. We have those things that we are convicted of and convinced are right. The things that we do absolutely right. But then one area begins to creep in. You know, it cracks me up a little bit when you hear the news, and especially out in Colorado and California and some places, and even here in Georgia, do this. You'll hear people and they'll say, well, listen, I only eat, free-range eggs. I eat no meat with any kind of hormones. I only eat safe tuna. I only drink organic milk. And they go down this whole list of things, and then they smoke pot 3 times a day. You see what I'm saying? You got all these things, but yet there's a gaping hole that just leads things right through. Self-control can destroy what is taking on. You know, the reality is that, you know, we laugh at that because we probably don't struggle. At least I hope we don't struggle with that. But the reality is that when it comes to doing that, sometimes we let things in, and before you know it, it becomes chaotic within our own life. You see, the reality is that picture might be a picture of your soul today. There might be an area of your life that God has been convicting you of. Now, let me just stop here for a second. The purpose of this message is not to make you feel guilty. The purpose of this message is this. One, to prepare our hearts for what we're going to take here in a few minutes. But two, is that we will be encouraged that we can take some steps to be further down the road with our walk with Christ. You see, it's not about being condemned. It's about moving past and acknowledging and realizing that we might have a breach in our wall. What do we see? We see that Proverbs chapter 23, verses 19 through 21, here's what it says. It says, listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Have we not talked about that? That the book of Proverbs says, listen, it doesn't matter what you hope for, pray for, what you talk about. If you are on a path, you will end up in the destination that you are on. It doesn't matter what you hope or dream. If you are on the wrong path, you will end up in that destination. And so what Solomon is saying here, he says, listen, my son, set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and glutton become poor and drowsy, clothed in rags. You see, he's not talking about having a drink, or he's not talking about having a meal. What he's talking about is somebody who has no self-control, and that ultimately what they do is they eat themselves into a stupor. Now, I don't know about you, but this reminds me of Thanksgiving. And listen, we do it from time to time, but I don't know about you, but in my house, after we got through the meal, people are just laying everywhere. I mean, they can't even hardly move. They're so full from the meal that is there. And there's nothing wrong with having a big meal from time to time. What he's saying here is that the person who lacks self-control, ultimately, as that hole in the wall is breached, will slowly begin to have a life that is chaotic. There's no order. Everything begins to implode on itself. And ultimately, what happens here? We see that they end up with clothes that are rags, because what do? They just want to sleep all the time. They just want to not do the things that they should be doing. So you ask yourself, ask myself, what do we do about it? We understand that we have a problem, but how do we practice self-control? Well, there's a lot that could be said on it, but I want to give you just a few things as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper here. Because in the Christian life, if you really think about it, one of the things is we've looked at even from, from understanding the principle of the path, that where we're going to go is there, that the fact that, you know, we need to work on our anger, and we have, some of us sometimes struggle with that, that sometimes pride can creep in, and we need to understand who God is. But ultimately, all those things fall under the heading of self-control, right? Learning that we need to make sure that we're headed in the right way. And so what do we see? We see that in the practice of self-control, we see that one of the very first things that we can do, that I can do, is to take an honest self-inventory of where we are. I don't know about you, but I don't like to look in the mirror sometimes and the reality of where I am. I like to keep busy. I like to keep moving. Maybe you're the same way. And that when I really have to stop and evaluate where I am spiritually, where I am and what path that I'm headed on, the destination that I might be heading to, the only way that I'm ever going to step off of that is if I really take an evaluation. Proverbs 14:8 says this. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Underline that. But the folly of fools is deception. Solomon is saying, listen, the wisdom, the one who is wise, is going to give thought to what they're doing, to examine where they are. They're going to ask questions like, what are my weaknesses? What are some of the things where I am weak? What are some areas that I need to confess before God? What are some areas that I myself, what are the holes in my wall, or where is my wall most susceptible to being broken down? What are my actions doing at that moment? And an honest question about your direction. Am I getting somewhere? Am I getting somewhere in my walk with God? But not only should you ask those questions, but listen, you need to, at that point, believe that God can actually help you. I know that sounds weird to say that to people in church, but I think sometimes we talk about faith, we read about faith, but when it comes to actually living the Christian life and believing, we don't really believe that God can do anything. And so what does he say? Proverbs 29:25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. See, Solomon is saying, listen, he said, fear of man, or this fear of, or what people think, and trusting in that is a snare. It leads you into trouble. But we should trust in the Lord to keep us safe. We should really believe that God can do something. But here's the interesting thing. We think about fearing another man, but guess who this also includes? Yourself. So many times we trust in our own ability, or sometimes we actually begin to fear what God thinks about you and about me, in light of everything that we've done and the thoughts we've had and the breach in our wall and all the things that are happening in our life. We begin to have this distorted view of who God is. So we begin to believe that God can't help us, because for some strange reason we've forgotten the truth that God loves us, that God has forgiven us, that God wants nothing more than for us to get back on the path that he wants us to do. And so the truth is this. The truth is that God has brought you here for a reason today, to hear this message. The truth is that God wants nothing more than to help you, that he wants to be there for you, to not to fear to what God thinks about you. You see, you might be struggling here today and saying, listen, I struggle with self-control. My wall has been breached. I've made decisions that have destroyed my life, or have put my life on a path, and I just don't think that I can get back to where I need to be. I just don't think that God truly can help me out of the situation that I'm in. But that's not what God says. You see, the reality is that you have gotten yourself where you are. You have put yourself on the path that you are. And you're saying, I can't do it. Good. But God can. God can. So we have to believe that. We have to, by faith, say, listen, I trust in you, God. But listen, in doing that, what we have to do to trust him is we have to remember who God is. Really remember who he is. Proverbs 18:10-11, here's what it says. It says the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. It says the righteous run to it and are safe. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it a wall way too high to scale. You know what's interesting is that these walls that were set up around the cities, they were there for protection, but as the walls were breached, guess what was set further inside the city? There were these fortified towers that people would run to, and they would go in, and so the enemy would be on the outside, and they would go in and they would wait out and strategize and figure out how they were going to take on the enemy from there. Here's what's so cool about this passage. It says, the name of the Lord is your fortified tower. Run to it. Run to it. You know, in the Bible, when it says the name of the Lord, it's not just saying, describing a name. What it's saying is that this is the name of the Lord. It means something. There's names in the Bible for God, like the provider, that the salvation, our Redeemer, all these different names. But listen, here's what you need to know, is that the name of the Lord is a fortified tower, and the name of the Lord here, his name is Jesus. We can turn and run to the one who can forgive us and has forgiven us. We can turn and run, and it says they are safe. It means that when that wall is breached, we don't just sit there and in the midst of what is going, we turn and we are reminded about who God is and what he has done for us. And yes, we have fallen. Maybe we're sitting in the middle of our mess, but we are reminded that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and died and rose again and has provided forgiveness for us as our fortified tower that we can turn to and get up and dust our knees off again through the grace and the mercy of what Jesus has done for us. You see, the beautiful picture of the communion that we have today that we are going to take here in a few minutes, it reminds us of who God is. You see, Jesus knew as he met with his disciples that he was going to have to remind us over and over and over again. Some now 2,000 years later, we have to be reminded that as humans, we are going to have walls that are breached. And we're going to struggle with self-control. But we have one that we can run to, a fortified tower, and his name is Jesus. One that will save us. One that will protect us. One that will be there, that will never leave or forsake us. And this meal that we take today is done in remembrance of all that Jesus has done for us. The one that is our fortified tower. And so what do we see? We say that as we remember who God is, here's what we do is we take the Lord's Supper. We focus on something that's better. Something that is better. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. What does that mean? Do you realize that what you focus on is what you will become? Do you realize that if I focus on the sins that I have, guess what I'm going to think about? The sins. You see, guarding my heart says this, think about the things that are pure, that are lovely. You know what? Positive thinking is great, but you know what? The only thing that is truly the thing that we can focus upon that will make any change at all when it comes to self-control is that we, as this supper does, ask us to remember who God is and to think about something better. That's Jesus. He's the one. The gospel. Read with me. I love this passage in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Read with me what it says. It says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You see, the gospel, through Jesus' sacrifice for us, through his grace, through his mercy, understanding that we will never be able to do it on our own, that we, under our own righteousness, will never be enough to stand before God and to do anything. And that's why Jesus had to come, so that as he, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and rose again, as we accept that through our faith in him and forgiveness comes, we now have not our own righteousness, not our own power to live this life, but the power of Christ living in us to say no. Doesn't mean we're going to do it right every time. But what does it mean? It means we're still forgiven, right? It means that when God looks at us, we understand who God is. The greatest demonstration that this meal brings is this, is that God loves you and he loves me unconditionally. Did everything on our behalf so that he could be our strong tower. The one that we can run to. The one that we can rely on. And as we grow in our faith with him, that's what's going to happen. Through the power of the gospel, through God working in us, then I'm going to be able to say no to the things that I need to say no. Because what's going to happen? I'm going to be headed on a path of righteousness, stepping into a path and a relationship with Jesus, stepping off the one that is leading me farther and farther away from him. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this as a church today. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come, and they're going to begin to play. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of practice what we've done today. If we're first and foremost, we're going to really begin to evaluate who we are. You see, in 1 Corinthians 11:28, here's what it says. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. So we're going to go into a time of prayer. Here's what I want you to do. Just ask God. Say, listen, I'm open, God. Reveal to me some areas that I need to confess to you. God, if there's something in my life that I'm doing that I just need to, right now, just to let it go. God, I want to give you control of it. So the reality is that in a crowd this size, there's all kinds of things happening. There's some people who absolutely have every other area of their life going, but they have wall that has been breached. Somebody who's working hard to provide for their family and working long hours and got the best car and doing all those things, and they're doing everything they need to do, but they get home late and they have no time for their family, and then they sit by themselves and look at stuff on the internet, breached wall, and now they're thinking about an affair. There's people that have everything going on in their life, but they just have this issue with their mouth that when they get around some people that they have relationships that are good, but they just can't control their tongue. No self-control, and they're destroying every relationship around them. I don't know what it is for you. Today can be a day that we can surrender that to God. I'm going to pray, and when I'm done, we'll go into a time of just introspection and reflection, preparing for the Lord's Supper. And then we'll go from there. Let me pray. Father, thank you for our time as we do the Lord's Supper, God. God, thank you as we look into our hearts and begin to confess to you, as we prepare our hearts and minds to receive this precious meal that you commanded us to do, so that we would remember who you are in light of who we are. Father, thank you for that. Yes, it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Just spend some time in prayer.